The Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to Bugle 158, sub-episode A. We're off this week, so here are some bits that we've done before that were unsuitable for public consumption at the time, in the opinion of Chris, who cut them out.
Right.
They're really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
Actually, no, you'll probably be the judge of that. You already have been the judge of that.
You're currently at Glastonbury as we speak,
that's
Andy.
Right. Yeah.
Kind of hanging out with Prince, I imagine.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's funky. He's definitely, definitely
he's
funky.
He's the first to say that.
He goes on the F of funk. And, I don't know, it's, we're probably going to play table tennis later, and, he's just obsessed with charades, that's all he wants to do. But he keeps doing titles of his own songs.
That's his fatal weakness. Yeah. All right, Prince, before you do anything, is it Purple Rain? Okay, well, sit down then, my turn.
So, here are some bits, and we'll be back with Bugle 159 next week.
Into trouble. The rest of the time he was there as well, being hounded by paparazzi at holy sites. He complained on Twitter that he just wanted the chance to walk where Jesus did. That's a simple request.
And how far does he want to take that jump? I mean, let's put your money where your mouth is, Bieber. Bring your own wood.
He went on to
say that game, Bieber? Have you got game?
He went on to say that he was staying in the hotel for the rest of the week now. You happy? Bieber's hotel, Andy, is his Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
The paparazzi are his money lenders in the temple. What I'm saying is, Bieber has returned to save us, Andy. I believe there's a prophecy foretelling of a floppy-haired young man visiting the promised land and bringing people together with his message in song. Either that, or indeed bringing people together in loathing of those same songs. Either way, he's a uniter. That's the point. Now, if you're asking yourself, of the crazy Israeli, what kind of politician would do a thing like that? It just doesn't make any sense. I would say this. Does it make any more sense when you find out that the same man is now up on massive corruption charges? I think it starts to become significantly less surprising at that point. The foreign minister in question, Avigdor Lieberman, has been indicted on charges of fraud, money laundering, breach of trust and tampering with a witness.
And tampering with a witness?
Yes, yes, yes. That is creepily general. And if you're thinking now, wow, this guy seems like a classy individual, tell me more about him, then you're in luck. I hope you're sitting down. He worked as a nightclub bouncer in his youth in the USSR. He's known for his abrasive style, once famously saying that Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak could go to hell, and that Israeli Arab MPs who met Hamas should be executed like Nazi collaborators after the Nuremberg trials. And you must now be thinking, wow, this sounds like the perfect individual to navigate the diplomatic complexities in the region. And of course, you'd be right. If you were being sarcastic. If you weren't, you'd either be horribly wrong, f***ing crazy, or a voting member of the Israeli Netanyahu party. And those three are by no means mutually exclusive.
But to be fair to him, John, I mean, I guess what he's trying to say here, and this is quite a strong subliminal message, I guess, is by flushing the toilet, what he is saying is, a lot of shit has been talked about this part of the world. What we need to do is get rid of that shit and start afresh.
Right.
So I think if you put a very negative spin on it, John, that's very cynical of you. Clearly it's a message of renewal and cleansing. It's a slippery slope, though, John. That's the problem, as you've intimated. That's how Bernie Madoff started. And when the thrill of the pen wears off, you look for a bigger game like billions of dollars. And as the old saying goes, John, where they take free pens, there they will ultimately burn people. Was that it? I forget, near enough. Justin Timberlake, incidentally, in other pen news, has got one of those pens that when you turn it upside down, a naked woman appears, but only it's a real naked woman. Massive pen, angry lady, naughty Timberlake.
General Middle East bringing your leaders up on charges. Legal update now. It turns out, Andy, that the spring really is the best time to bring major politicians up on criminal charges. When the blossoms are first appearing on the trees, you really want to be seeing dictators appearing in docks. A good general rule is that whenever you're planting spring bulbs, that's the perfect time to be filing legal papers at the Hague. And Tunisian authorities say they want to try former President Ben Ali on 18 different charges, including voluntary manslaughter and drug trafficking. The Justice Minister said the charges were among 44 to be made against Ben Ali, his family and some former ministers. Now, first, the big issue for the people of Tunisia is the same issue that Cuba Gooding Jr. found himself screaming at Tom Cruise. Show me the money! And there's a lot of money to show. The head of the French branch of the Transparency International said, our Tunisian lawyer friends tell us that the Ben Ali families controlled between 30 and 40% of the Tunisian economy. So a simple calculation allows us to say that we're looking at around $10 billion.
Well, what is wrong with leaders stepping up to the plate and taking responsibility, John? That is hands-on leadership. What is wrong with that?
It's pretty impressive as well, you know, controlling a third of a nation's economy. That's some top-level dictatoring right there. And
I'm surprised. I just couldn't be asked to do that. Even if I was a dictator, I think I'd delegate that kind of shit.
That's why it's impressive, after all those years, that you're still hungry for it. And when you have that kind of money, what do you do with it? Well, it turns out that Ben Ali's taste in expenditure is positively Trumpian in its class. The recent WikiLeaks documents revealed one ambassador writing about, and I quote, going to a dinner at the seafront home of one of the president's daughters where frozen yogurt was flown in from Saint-Tropez and a caged pet tiger was fed 4 chickens a day. That's pretty good, Ben Ali. I'm guessing that around the time of day that you're feeding your third chicken to your pet tiger, it's at that point that you take a deep breath and it suddenly hits you, yes, I am definitely a dictator. Because this is the kind of thing that dictators do. I'm either a dictator or I'm Michael Jackson.
Didn't Jessica Alba have that in her rider on that film you did?
She did. Yeah. She did. Yeah.
She f***ing hates chickens, that girl.
Loves tigers, hates chickens.
But it was 18 charges, ranging from conspiring against the state, as he said, voluntary manslaughter, drug trafficking, which I don't know how they picked him up. Was he caught coming back from the UN General Assembly meeting, holding his stomach awkwardly and looking like he wanted to be alone for a while? Also charged with owning an unlicensed goldfish, drawing a moustache on the foreign minister's face without prior permission, and selling counterfeit bugle memorabilia. So, I mean, that's got to stop, frankly. And also parking offences, including parking a tank on a protester.
Egypt's Prosecutor General has ordered the detention of Hosni Mubarak ahead of an investigation into corruption and abuse allegations. And Mubarak was promptly announced to be in a hospital in an unstable condition with heart problems. Now, I've got to say, Andy, I'm not implying that he faked that. I'm just saying that, in the most positive possible terms, that was an extremely convenient heart attack. If such a thing is possible. I'm just saying, if he did have a heart attack, that the first thing that went through his mind would, of course, understandably have been, oh God, I'm having a heart attack. But the second thing going through his mind would definitely have been, well, this is excellent timing.
Well, it does sound a bit like the famous incident with Rivaldo in the Football World Cup. I don't know, was Mubarak hit in the knee by a football just before and then went down clutching his heart?
Oh, I was
and looking at the ref through
football.
His fingers.
Yeah. Ugh. Dark moment for football, Andy.
Well, it's not, but the knee's a funny area, isn't it? It's like, you know, when you get tapped on the knee with a hammer. You know, your face twitches. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah.
Libya news, and well, the main news coming out of Libya this week is that Megrahi is still alive. It's now nearly 2 years, I think, since he was released. And you'd have thought, John, the very least, in the circumstances currently abounding in his nation, the very least he could have done was fake his own death. Surely that is not too much to ask. I mean, come on, have some decency. Further details have emerged about Bin Laden, including that apparently he rejected the use of tractors as terrorist tools. Apparently it was suggested to him that a tractor or farm vehicle could be kitted out, souped up, pimped out with blades and swords to turn it into a killing machine. And Bin Laden apparently said this was something he, quotes, did not endorse. And apparently complained that this tactical proposal promoted indiscriminate slaughter. Which, he wouldn't... I mean, that's, he's not always been opposed to that, you know. Does seem that maybe he was mellowing in his old age, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, or maybe he just didn't want to spoil his memories of the chariot racing scene in Ben-Hur. But you would have thought the greater problem is that it was just, as terrorist tactics go, dangerously ineffective. Why is that guy driving a tractor through the city centre at this time of day? And why has he strapped two medieval scimitars to it? Surely a regular plough would be more... Hang on a minute, he's not even dressed like a farmer. And whatever it is he's screaming sure as hell doesn't sound like advice on crop rotation or the benefits of organic agriculture. Someone arrest that man. I certainly don't remember the scene, John, in any of the 8 series of 24 when Jack Bauer comes face-to-face with a guy in a combine harvester threatening to chop the president down and put him in a silo for storage.
Another detail that emerged was that Bin Laden's youngest widow said that he was actually not on dialysis at all and had completely recovered from his 2 kidney surgeries a decade ago, helping to treat himself by, I quote, eating a lot of watermelons. That's a pretty weird detail, Andy. I now just have the image of Bin Laden surrounded by an unfeasible number of watermelons.
Oh, God, I love watermelons.
Medicinal watermelons. Yeah.
I just bought some...
Well, that's just one of the things you have in common with Bin Laden, Andy.
I know, I feel dirty now.
Yeah. Bin Laden's son.
I'm not a very good swimmer. That's another thing I've got in common with him. China news, and it's party time! Party, party, party! Not necessarily the kind of party that we in the West enjoy, but it's the 90th birthday of the Chinese Communist Party coming up soon. And to celebrate this, the government has ordered TV stations in China not to air detective shows, spy thrillers or dramas about time travel for the next 3 months. And instead, they're going to be airing programmes praising the Communist Party instead. And, I mean, this is what you want, really, from your television. I mean, you know, there's a time and a place for time travel thrillers and spy dramas, and clearly when your party's about to celebrate its 90th birthday, that isn't it.
Right.
Why not, though, John? Why not make a time-travelling detective show with an espionage theme about how awesome the Chinese Communist Party is? And then surely, I mean, that would show that they're opening up to
the
West.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Well, it's basically what most episodes of Quantum Leap were all about, if you watch them drunk with the sound off. And I always knew...
It seemed...
Yeah, Scott Bakula always looks suspiciously like Mao Zedong's successor as chairman, Liu Shaoqi, particularly when eating noodle soup. It was uncanny. Anyway, uncanny.
It does seem completely unreasonable, this story, Andy. It simply shouldn't be that difficult to get all the information they want to get across into existing shows on Chinese TV, thereby keeping everything on air. On cookery shows, while making a cinnamon raisin bread, you can simply say, so now you just pop the dough into the oven and leave it there until the bread rises, gloriously, like the Communist Party of China did from 1921 until it established full political power in 1949. I'm just looking through the door of the oven now, and it seems like the cinnamon loaf is still in the early 1930s of its development, so I'm going to give it another 15 to 20 minutes to give it that delicious late 40s crust.
I'll just take it out of the oven now. Oh, hot. Mao! Mao!
For game shows, it should be even easier. Question number 3. This is for 500,000 yen. Is the Communist Party's 90th birthday A, glorious day for the People's Republic? B, please put me in handcuffs and take me to jail immediately? Or C, beat my husband in front of me? Your time starts now!
Your time starts Mao, John. Your time starts Mao!
Instead of this, though, the deputy chief of drama department at China State TV regulator, that's got to be a very narrow job, said there are dozens of good TV dramas related to the founding of the party that stations can broadcast. So what many Chinese viewers will now see in the coming weeks are shows like the apparently specially made historical drama Dong Fang. According to the show's publicity, it follows China's communist leader Mao Zedong between the founding of the People's Republic of China and his second visit to the former Soviet Union 12 years later. Now, I don't want to be rude, Andy, but Dong Fang sounds terrible. He better get up to some ridiculous scrapes during that episode, Andy, or at the very least fall over a lot, or it's going to be borderline unwatchable. Now, I actually have a few production notes for them.
Right.
Firstly, it's not all bad news. I love the name. Dong Fang is a strong name for a show. However, it needs to be the name of the lead character. Dong Fang is the lead character, Andy, and the lead character also needs to be a talking dolphin who can do karate and who travels back in time to the founding of the People's Republic of China to find out more about his nation's history, but also to eat fish and beat up ninjas. Do that, and I guarantee you that you've got an informative, patriotic, slightly historically inaccurate smash hit on your hands.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's not quite an interesting show, Dong Fang, charting the development of Marxism, Leninism in China and the achievements of the Communist Party in politics, military, culture, economics and diplomacy. Basically, John, sounds like a left-wing dynasty, but probably with more boobs. Amongst the other shows being shown are a number of new sitcoms, including Com to the Party, Mao's It Going, Li Dajiao Not Into Temptation. He was one of the early founders.
Oh, no.
Better Off Red.
No.
And Arrested for Development. But I guess before we get too judgmental, John, from our Brito-Americaniac perspective, let us cast our minds back through our own broadcasting history, John. Cast your mind back, if you will. Oh, let's say 3 weeks. And remember how the state TV here and major TV channels in America cancelled all news coverage other than sycophantic praising of an institution that goes back not 90 years, but more than 900. So I think maybe we should get off our high horses on this one. In other wine news, John, some Japanese scientists have claimed that wine could basically solve all of the world's problems because they, at a party, they dunked some metal in wine and found that it took on superconductive properties. Now, superconduction is one of the holy grails of science that could basically solve the world's energy problems at a stroke. And it, and somehow, John, they found out that dipping stuff in wine makes it more superconductive. And to be honest, John, it is hard to know how this experiment panned out, really. And whether it is, I mean, it does sound almost as if they're just trying to get free batches of alcohol to test it further. Yeah, we need 20 crates of wine and a few gallons of sake and a load of crates of beer, and we'll get back to you. And inevitably, we'll find out that it wasn't actually the case, and then they'll, I don't know. If they could coat metal in cocaine, see if that worked as well. You cannot trust a scientist, John. It's witchcraft in a white coat. And here's someone else who had been well advised to keep it in his trousers, and that's the UK Energy Secretary, Chris Huhne. Huhne did not keep it in his trousers, and last year splat up from his wife of 20... Is that the word? Anyway, after 26 years of marriage, they splat up in favour of the woman with whom Huhne had failed to keep it in his trousers. And now his ex-missus seems to be serving up a nice dishful of revenge straight from the fridge, as recommended in the serving suggestion on the packet. She's claiming he persuaded her to cop some penalty points for driving his Vroom Vroom car too vroomily. And this is considered by some people to be a bit naughty. Sadly for Huhne, though some people include the police and the law courts, who are now investigating the matter, all of which goes to suggest, Mr. Huhne, that in future, keep it in your trousers, sir.
The entire state of Florida keeps it in its trousers now. And Andy, you can usually rely on Florida to pull a strange news story out of its crazy bag. And that certainly happened a couple of weeks ago. Because Florida passed a bill outlawing bestiality. Now, perhaps the biggest story here has to be Wow. Has it really only just done that? Has it been basically legal to have sex with animals in Florida all this time? And is that why alligators are always so angry?
Well, surely they didn't need a law.
They're constantly having to fend off unwanted human advances, Andy.
Surely the mere presence of alligators means bestiality is self-regulating. You get an instant and very final sentence.
All right, alligator. All right, I get it. You're not interested. There's no need to snap. But in drafting this legislation, Florida may have made a mistake, which is strange, because it's so unlike Florida to experience mistakes when it comes to official documents. And they may indeed have just outlawed sex altogether. The exact law reads, an act relating to sexual activities involving animals, prohibiting knowing sexual conduct or sexual contact with an animal, prohibiting specified related activities, providing penalties, providing the act does not apply to certain husbandry, confirmation judging and veterinary practices, providing an effective date. The problem is that humans are technically members of the animal kingdom. Therefore, Florida potentially just dethroned Sir Bangs-a-Lot. And now, it's worth noting, Andy, that 95% of the Floridian population are either retired or wearing oversized Disney costumes, so it shouldn't have an immediate impact, but nevertheless, it will eventually become a problem, and you have to wonder whether this is actually an attempt to legally sterilize the state of Florida. Is this still a punishment from the election of 2000? Okay, that's it. No more new voters can come from here ever again. The rest of you can run out your time, but the aim is that within 50 years, Floridians as a people will be extinct, at which time the whole state will either be a theme park or they'll just cut it off, sell it to Dubai, they can ship it over, stand it up vertically and call it the new world's tallest hotel.
It's all eerie, reminiscent of when Wisconsin banned sex with the Animals, the influential 1960s British blues rock legends.
The truth is, though, Andy, you can't do anything around the Queen. All protocol
testify.
Is designed to make any interaction with royalty as excruciating as possible. You can't touch her, you can't look directly at her, you can only do it through a series of strategically placed mirrors, you can't smoke cigars around her, or if you do, you have to offer her one first, you can't eat pizza within 2 miles of her because she claims she's allergic to pepperoni, even though she isn't, you have to bow when she walks into a room, but jump up and down until she tells you to stop if she walks into a room backwards. You can't swear around her unless you're referring to the nation of Portugal, and you can only feed her with a perfectly open palm or she'll bite your fingers off. It's a social minefield.
But his lawyer, John, has said that Ratters is going to refuse to acknowledge the legitimacy of the UN courts. Now, what is it with these tired old despots, John?
Yeah.
They never come up with their own material. They just churn out the same old this court's not legitimate shtick they and their colleagues have been peddling for decades. It makes me sick, John. Let's have some originality.
His lawyer said that Mladic does not recognise the UN War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague, but that shouldn't be too much of a problem. I'm sure he's going to recognise them. They're going to be the people in suits asking him awkward questions about mounds of corpses over the next few months. They'll introduce themselves to him. It's fine.
Some of his fans maintain that the UN Tribunal in The Hague has an anti-Serb bias. And I guess that pretty much depends on whether or not an obviously guilty Serbian war criminal is sitting in the dock saying, no, I didn't, or I'm feeling a bit peaky, can I go back to my cell and die? But I guess to the objective observer, it does seem that they have a pretty strong anti-war criminals bias. I guess that's more the complaint that Mladic might want to focus on. Not really genocide fans at all. Very set against large-scale human rights abuses. So I can guess you can understand why Rat Kid is not too keen to be spending the next few years being whinged at by them.
Now, finally, American, I know you're a registered Republican.
Well, yeah, I'm also a registered handgun owner, you know what I'm saying?
And I don't know how you feel about the Republican candidates at the moment, because you've just lost Donald Trump, and I know that you were a fan.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing about Donald Trump. I mean, people don't realize how hard it is to be him. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. you're
I,
one
I
of the...
I think people assume it's not hard at all.
Oh, it's impossible. First of all, you're one of the most famous men in the world.
That's
you're one
true.
Of the most brilliant minds in the world.
Also not true.
So you're basically walking around,
yeah.
and all people want from you is money and advice.
Okay.
And I know what that's like. I don't have as much money as Trump. I'm working on it, right? Hey, God bless, right?
Yeah.
If my couple, I got a couple business ideas going right now.
Uh-huh.
I've been trying to... I've gone to a couple of Donald's lectures.
Yes.
And he just speaks truth to power. You know, he'll tell you, like,
right.
why not put a gold bathtub in your bathroom, even if you only have one bathroom?
Yeah.
Why not have it be the most delicious, deluxe bathroom on the planet?
Uh-huh.
And he's just really smart about money and like real estate and stuff. So it's like
yeah.
he would be a really good president because that's a lot of what America does is, like, we look for real estate around the world. Like
yeah.
Afghanistan, he would look at that and say, like, that's a terrible real estate purchase because
yeah.
there's no
right.
there's no water, there's no golf courses.
Yeah.
Like, who wants a house
right.
there? But then he would look at a place, say, like, you know, Sweden, and be like, yeah, let's take that over.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean?
Now, of course, he nearly declared bankruptcy multiple times.
Right. But I think those that was his tax, you know, you think he was doing that.
Which was then defrauding the state.
Well, but no. It's just being a sharp, you know, look, there's the fraud in the state, and then there's being a sharp capitalist businessman, okay?
Right.
And capitalism is all about moving money around, you know? So you got to stick and move. I'm reading a lot about this. There's a book called Trump 101. It's just the basics.
Oh, no.
It's
please.
Just the basics.
Right.
Yeah, and he just understands, he also understands real people, you know what I mean? Like, he gets it. He lives, even though he's super rich, he lives the way you're supposed to, kind of like a sultan, but at the same time, he's down to earth, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He goes to, like, you know, baseball games and, like, you know, and, you know, his, I like, he only has that one helicopter. He could have three, but he's got one, you know. And I don't know. I think he's class. He's just class.
Do you think he's done, or do you think he'll come back?
I mean, I think the only reason he decided not to be the president is because he knows his, like, he's better off just doing what he does as a person every day, which is giving back to the community, as opposed to, like, putting all his eggs into the basket of running the country.
Right.
You know? It's a waste of, like, one of our greatest minds.
So he can do more for America. Let me just get this straight. He can do more for America as a mid-range real estate tycoon.
Yeah.
Than he can as president of the entire country.
Well, first of all, mid-range is almost offensive. He is probably the greatest real estate tycoon of all time.
His buildings are hideous.
I don't know if that's slang for beautiful.
They're
but
disgusting. They're gaudy, disgusting buildings. That's
have you seen the Trump?
Fact.
Have you seen the Trump Tower? It's like it literally looks like it came out of like a genie's bottle. It is gorgeous. It's gold. That's the thing. He knows to use. A lot of people run away from gold now because they think it's
they
tacky. But he knows that over time, gold always has value. So yeah, right now maybe people like silver more, platinum, whatever nonsense. But ultimately, people always go back to gold because it's beautiful. It's shiny and it's beautiful. And this country is all about gold. People forget that. You know, in 1949, we had that big gold rush. That's why we have the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah. What?
And,
what?
In 1949.
Right.
It was right after World War II. There was this huge...
there was a huge gold rush in the wake of the end of World War II.
Listen, I'm not a historian. I'm just telling you that this country's built on gold.
Okay.
And we have a place called Fort Knox.
Yeah.
Full of gold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Try getting in, by the way.
Yeah.
Try getting in. Go ahead. See if you can get in. See if your whole army could get in there.
Well, I mean,
it's the most secure place in the whole world.
Some other very good emails this week that we'll come on to. We'll do next. There's one about suggesting that I have a medical disorder that causes me to make puns called Witzelsucht. It's apparently a medical condition.
Oh,
and that people.
That sounds all right.
People having operations, brain operations, have. Been prodded in a certain part of their brain and just started cracking puns. Thank you, science.
That could be true.
We'll discuss that further next week, and I'll come up with some puns to accompany it. There you go, strap in, or just skip a week, whichever you prefer. This one comes in from Linda in Portland, Oregon, who writes, I listened to this week's Bugle from a dentist's chair while getting a painful treatment called root planing. All was well until John said... eulogy. And I went into a spasm of laughter that almost caused me serious physical harm as the dentist wielded her sharp implement. Thanks anyway. There you go. It's made an impact, John. eulogy.
It has. Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah. I'm glad.
I mean, you don't want to only be remembered for that, but I think you will largely be remembered for that.
That's the new danger now. It's going to wipe out everything else I've ever done.
This one comes in on a different subject from Martin, who writes, "Dear Andy, just a quick note, thanks for your excellent performance in Runcorn last Friday. As it was my birthday, I was able to persuade my partner Michelle to come with me. Despite her many fine qualities, she is not really a fan of stand-up comedy. However, I thought you'd be pleased to learn that when we got home, she did concede that you were, quotes, not entirely awful." A phrase I thought would make an interesting review on one of your flyers. There you go. That's a partial convert, John. I've made one of my very, very rare TV appearances recently. I did stand up on a TV show here, and a producer who hadn't really seen me before listened. I think he listened actually to the live from Dhaka gigs that we put out on the Bugle a few weeks ago, and he sent me an email saying, describing my stand up as deceptively accessible. Which was a small compliment and a large insult simultaneously. And this has been brought to our attention by John Wayne Pine, who signs himself the f***ing Duke, the Prince of Pine, the self-proclaimed King of the USA. There you go. Anyway, Mr. J.W. Pine has brought to our attention a shirt which he's found on the Zazzle site. A shirt which simply has on the front, "Bring Tom back to the Bugle," brackets, "F*** you, Chris."
Classic.
So, brilliant. There you go. How do you feel about that, Chris?
I feel like I've been immortalised.
Yeah.
I think Tom should be quite happy with that, shouldn't he?
Yeah. Happier than you, possibly.
Yeah, I mean, could either of us really be seen walking down the street in that T-shirt? It'd be quite wrong.
I think approval ratings, as presidents have proven, it's a complexity whilst you're in office. And history will basically be your judge. I think Tom is getting a boost at the moment after being in office. Who knows, Chris? Who knows how history will judge you?
Are you telling me to quit?
This is the most cowardly way of saying you're fired.
Oh, f*** you, Ped.
Are there any other Bugle merchandise? We need to get into the merch market, yeah. John.
No, that's definitely true.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's what it's all about these days. It's not about a comedy, it's about the merch.
Could we fire those T-shirts from a T-shirt cannon? That'd be the only way we should distribute them, really.
Oh, that is true. That would be phenomenal. I mean, anything fired out of a T-shirt cannon's great, but that really would be special.
You can get Team Oliver and Team Zaltzman shirts as well.
Really?
Yeah. It doesn't say how well they're selling.
Well, I think it's implied.
You can get an I Love Hotties from History T-shirt.
What?
And I Hate the Audio Cryptic Crossword T-shirt.
Oh, now I'm interested.
Florence Nightingale is My Homegirl bumper sticker. People have been at this.
Good. That's great.
That's it. That's it for the your emails. Do keep them coming in to thebugle@timesonline.co.uk.
Those were the bits.
Yeah. Dynamite, I'd say. Absolute unstoppable dynamite.
Hope you enjoyed forcing that offal down. You know, it's seen as a delicacy when it's cooked right.
Yeah. That's the key, though, isn't it? That's the absolute key. I had brains once in a restaurant.
I know. Yeah. I did. I was never really sure what kind of possessed you to do that.
Well, I thought
curiosity.
If I'm ever going to have brains, probably best to get it in a decent restaurant rather than just on a farmyard with a hacksaw.
But yeah. I'm not even sure that's true, Andy. I mean, the second one makes a much better story.
I didn't have the psychological strength to look at something that looked obviously like a bit of brain and eat it without thinking I'm eating something's brain. So.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm not French, so that's only to be expected.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of your best qualities, Andy. So that's it. Have a pleasant week.
What are you doing in the week off, John?
Don't no idea. Oh, I'm going to Kansas. I'm going to Kansas, Andy. Yeah, I'm going to Kansas to play in a charity poker tournament with Wriggle. And
also, can so what can you win? Can you win like
play
a
poker?
Win a coach load of starving African kids.
That's right. Yeah,
from a charity.
I don't really know much about it. I just know I'm going, so I'll tell you when I return. Both have some pretty weird stories.
How's your poker?
Poor.
Right. I'd imagine Wriggle plays pretty hard.
He plays hard, and he plays with an intensity that he likes to intimidate people off the table.
I've only met him briefly, but I'd imagine he plays poker full on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Bye-bye, Buglers.
Bye-bye, Buglers. Have a lovely week.